This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
It is time for Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home. I'm Kevin, and joining me in the studio today is Dr. Alan Bolton, senior veterinarian.
Hello.
Hello, Alan. It seems like it's been forever since you've been
I think it's been
here.
About 4 weeks or something. I was supposed to be here last week, and then we had drama.
Yes, you were a bit busy. Now, today is, some people might say it's an unlucky day, being, Friday the 13th, but I think it's something, there's something very special about today, isn't there?
Oh, well, I think...
birthday song. Not my birthday, because my birthday's February, so that must mean... Alan.
It's my birthday.
Happy birthday,
Thank
Alan.
You.
Got much planned? Anything exciting? Did your puppies give you something nice?
Yes, they did. I'd been trying to ignore it because I'm 45. I didn't want to be 45. But I'm kind of into it now and can't do anything about it. So, yeah, we're just going to probably go to the beach tonight, take the dogs to the beach, get some nice food on the way home and take it easy.
Sounds like a great day. So you won't be sneaking any sort of birthday cake to your pups, maybe?
No. No, none of that.
And why is that, Alan?
Because they'd get fat.
Yes, and that is exactly what we're going to be talking about today.
It is. Pet obesity is a growing problem around the world. And in the USA, the problem is so big that the Pet Obesity Prevention Association was created to educate pet owners to keep tabs on their pet weight. October the 9th is National Pet Obesity Day in the States, where a staggering 52.5% of animals are overweight. So that is 36.7 million dogs and 43.2 million cats are overweight or obese.
It's actually 58% of cats. So there's more cats than dogs that are overweight.
I guess that kind of figures because a lot of cats in the States will be indoor cats and they're a bit more prone to it. So
look, on Pets Allowed today, we are going to be getting out the measuring tape and gauging our understanding on pet obesity. Now, coming up on Pets Allowed today, what are we looking at?
We're going to define pet obesity and look at how you can gauge whether your own pet needs to shed some kilos. And we'll have a look at the health and behaviour implications of your pet being overweight.
Now, the Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic vet nurse Jeannie will be joining us to... I did a pre-recorded interview with her earlier this week. Talk us about a free and new Weight Watchers program for pets offered by the clinic. And at the tail end of the program, we're going to have our Q&A and also dog dates segment as well. This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
The Pets Allowed News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
You're on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9, and today we are going to be talking about pet obesity. But first up, it is time for the Pets Allowed News Wrap and to recap the news and events of last week. Now, recently, National Pet Register set off on a mini microchipping tour of Queensland. We did a really big one last year. We decided just to take a bit of a mini trip up there this year. It was a great success. We had three jam-packed weekends in Queensland, and now 450 companion animals all have microchips on the National Pet Register database. That's a lot of animals.
That's pretty good going. It's 150 a weekend.
That's quite a lot.
When you think about it.
Would have been pretty busy up there. We did see 391 dogs and 72 cats. So mostly dogs, which is generally what we see with our microchipping days, because obviously it's easier to get out and take your dog out rather than taking your cat out. It is discounted, and it was in conjunction with local councils. So everywhere from Bundaberg to Maryborough and Hervey Bay, it would have been really nice to go up there and spend some time up. We actually had someone who had been on the road with his friend, his little 10-year-old Jack Russell mix named Russell. Keith was actually from Western Australia originally, so he's been driving around and he saw it in the local paper and thought, oh, I better get into this. So he'd been travelling around 9,000 kilometres and got his friend microchipped up in Queensland. So that was great.
That's a long way to go.
It is a long way to go.
For a microchip.
I don't know if he went specifically for the microchip. I just think it just happened to be right place at the right time. Now, if you want to find out more about the National Pet Register, you can visit their website, which is petregister.com.au. It's got details of all the events on that, but we will be covering some in Dog Dates at the tail end of the program. But you can also find all our stories online at dogshome.com, or find us on Facebook. Just check us out on the Joy website, joy.org.au, and find the Pets Allowed. But as usual, each week it is time for
this week's Pet of the Week.
It is time to meet this week's Pet of the Week, and we have a lovely little cat named Clyde.
We do. Clyde is a domestic shorthair cat. He's obviously a boy. He's tabby and white, mainly white. We reckon he's about 3.5 years old. He's de-sexed. He's healthy. He's vaccinated. He's been wormed, and he's microchipped. He's a really sweet cat who actively comes up to you and looks for attention. So he likes patting. He loves rubbing his chin. He's mainly white, and he's got those sort of white ears and pinkish nose, so it's probably a good idea that he was an indoor cat, or certainly mainly an indoor cat, because he'll be prone to sunburn. His ID number is 949889, and you can see his rather interesting photograph on our Facebook page.
We're not going to spoil the surprise for you, but definitely go and check that out. It is worth looking at just to see what is exactly going on with
him. So, he's at North Melbourne Shelter. You can see him online at dogshome.com, or call the shelter on 9329 2755, and his ID number is 949889.
Now, don't forget, the Lost Dogs Home North Melbourne is not the only shelter that we have in Victoria. We have a shelter up in Echuca as well, so if you're interested in heading up there. We also have a shelter in New South Wales, which is Windjarrabin, and up in Queensland. So no matter which of the eastern states, except for Tasmania, that you are in, you can go and check out the Lost Dogs Home as well. Also, if you follow us along on Facebook, you're going to find plenty of lovely cats and dogs looking for new homes. You're on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. Today, Alan and I are chatting all things about pet obesity. So we mentioned at the top of the program that the staggering statistics of pet obesity in America, with 52.5% of dogs, which is 36.7 million dogs, are overweight or obese, and 58.3% or 43.2 million cats in America are overweight or obese.
Obesity in pets is a serious and unfortunately growing issue in Australia. According to the Australian Veterinary Association, studies in recent years have found the prevalence of overweight pets in Australia is alarmingly high. A survey conducted in 2000 also raised the importance of educating pet owners on weight issues in pets and the introduction of a standard for measuring body condition in companion animals.
So I suppose the first question that comes to mind, Alan, is what is actually considered as obese?
I guess being obese is being overweight to such a degree that it starts to affect their general health and well-being. So, you know, certainly some dogs and cats will carry a little bit of extra weight, but they're quite healthy and they go, you know, they live in a normal lifespan, but it's the ones where it's really starting to affect them. That's what we're talking about.
And it's going to be different breeds as well, but we'll talk a bit about that in a second. But how does a dog or a cat become obese? Like, how does it happen?
Well, basically, it's just like people, you know. We feed them too much food and they have too little exercise. So, and I think we feed them inappropriate food sometimes. So if you think about treats that we may give our dogs and cats, they're much smaller than we are. So what may seem like an acceptable treat or snack to us actually becomes a full meal or more than a meal to them. So it's very easy for that weight to start stacking on once they finish growing.
Is it is there animals at higher risk of becoming obese or overweight?
I think so certainly middle-aged animals are more likely. So younger animals tend to be more active and they're still growing. So it's when they reach middle age it becomes a problem. Indoor cats are a real problem, I think, because they're very inactive and often they'll spend a lot of time just sleeping, and basically they sleep and eat and may play for, you know, a couple of hours. Sometimes animals belonging to elderly people, just they're not able to exercise them quite enough.
Can't get them out and about.
Yeah, and they tend to sort of overcompensate with food. So that's mainly it. Pets that live in single pet households, so dogs that live by themselves, because often, you know, two or possibly three dogs, you know, they'll spend a lot of time playing.
Running around
and playing, and cats will play as well. Whereas if they're on their own, they may get a bit bored and just sort of hang around.
Okay. So looking at the sort of animals themselves, is there any breeds that are more prone to becoming obese or overweight?
Look, I think any breed can, because again, it's down to us. It's what we feed them and how we treat them. But I suppose classically, if you think of Labradors will
love
always
food.
Say they will just eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. And beagles as well.
That's
so
the same with beagles,
we see quite a lot of beagles, which are quite overweight. With cats, I don't think it's so much a breed thing as a lifestyle thing. So cats that have access to outdoors tend not to be so overweight, whereas cats that stay indoors are more overweight. But I suppose people tend to think ragdolls, those sort of really laid-back cats, so like ragdolls, chinchillas, Persians, they're often a bit more overweight.
Okay, and is it something that we see at the shelter much? Like, do you often see animals coming in that are overweight or obese? And
look, most of our stray animals that come in aren't overweight. I mean, obviously a few of them are.
Sometimes we have sort of the complete
it's the opposite
as well.
The
underweight
opposite
is
problem,
generally,
you know, and neglect is more of a problem. But quite often, you know, we will get animals surrendered where people can't look after their animals anymore. And I suppose one of the things about not being able to look after them is often that they're not able to exercise them and get them out and about the way they should be. So yeah, we certainly do have animals come through who are overweight. And when we adopt them out, we tend to give the new owner some dietary advice and perhaps send them home with a plan which we can monitor, and hopefully we get the weight off them that way.
And I mean, we do with animals that are overweight at the shelter, we do look at feeding them special diets as well. So we had Matilda recently, who was a dog that was in the shelter, and she was rather large, so she was on a special diet, making sure that she was, you know, on a very restricted diet. Sometimes cats as well, so if we get those really big cats.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's something that we look at the shelter, you know, exercising them a bit more often, the different kinds of exercise as well. And mm-hmm. I think that's sort of also where something like the Lost Dogs Home Frank Samway's Veterinary Clinic Slimmers Club comes in handy as well, because that's that ongoing support after the animal leaves the shelter for losing weight, to get them back into that sort of proper weight level, really.
Yeah, and it's actually much easier to get the weight off them if you have like a properly tailored plan that's made for you. And it's much easier if they're being monitored and the same, you know, the same people and the same set of scales. And
so it's kind of like doggy weight watchers.
It is a bit, yeah.
Or kitty weight watchers. So yes, coming in every couple of weeks, getting a weigh in and that kind of thing. What are the implications of obesity? So, okay, my pet might be obese, but what are the problems that can be associated with that?
Obesity is associated with a huge range of medical problems. So we've got arthritis, cardiovascular disease, insulin resistance leading to diabetes. That's certainly a big one in cats. And there's an increased surgical risk with any sort of procedure if your pet is overweight. A really overweight pet has a much longer lifespan and a poorer quality of life.
Much shorter lifespan.
Yes, you've got that the wrong way around.
Live longer if they're overweight.
No.
Well, every pet would be overweight then.
And a really interesting thing is the incidence of obesity in pets increases with the incidence of obesity in owners.
Okay.
So it's one of those things where people look like their dogs.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it sort of makes sense if we're eating sort of fattier foods, and if we're not eating right, we tend to, you know, give some scraps occasionally and that kind of thing.
But that's a good way, you know, that you actually start maybe using your dog as a way to lose weight yourself.
That's right. You might find the motivation and to, you know, get out and about with your pet. And we'll be talking a bit about that in the show today as well. Mm. But briefly, what are some of the behavioural side effects of obesity in pets? Is, you know, does it sort of affect their behaviour? You get doggy depression?
Well, I guess it does. I think, you know, exercise is fun, generally, for most people and most animals as well. And I think eventually if they're not getting exercise, they just get bored.
Yeah.
So I think there is a sort of carry-on effect, but it's really hard to quantify.
I know that, you know, obviously with my dog, Cinder, she's a very active dog, so she loves exercise. So whenever I get home, she stares at me until we go out for a walk. So she definitely is into that. And if there's a day where I'm sick or something like that, she'll stare at me until we go somewhere, because she's really like, you know, you've got to get out and about.
Yes,
you know, we can't just sit around at home.
And my dogs drive me crazy if they don't get out for a walk.
Yes.
And I kind of go a bit crazy myself if I don't go out.
Thank you, Alan. That is the sciencey side of obesity, some of the issues that can be talked about. But after this, we're going to be looking at some of the ways to combat that as well.
Get social. See joy.org.au/petsallowed to follow us and chat all week long.
This is Pets Aloud with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. We are talking all things about pet obesity. Dr. Alan Bolton, he is here in the studio with me today. You know, he's a bit of an expert when it comes to being a senior veterinarian. I think he knows a lot of things about pets. Now, Alan, we are looking at pet obesity. So how can we combat that? What kind of things can we do when it comes to feeding? What should we be doing?
So it's feeding an appropriate diet, and we would generally recommend that you feed that the most of your pet's diet is made of a good quality commercial food, just because you know what you're getting and you can trust what it says on the bag. So we probably wouldn't say supermarket brand food. It's probably better that you get your dog food from either your vet or your local pet shop. And they're really good at giving advice. People in pet shops have training, so, you know, they can tell you what to do. And certainly vet nurses are always very, very interested in pet diets, and they can give you good advice at your vet clinic.
There's all sorts of different options out there when it comes to food. You know, we as humans, we have sort of diet options and light options. And is that something that we can do for our pets?
Yeah, most of the big pet food companies make different types of food. So that goes from foods which are specifically formulated for working dogs. So those are much higher in energy. And then there are foods for growing dogs and cats. So, and again, they're higher in energy and protein. And at the other end of the scale, they will produce foods which are quite reduced in energy requirements, so low fat, low protein, low carbohydrate, but they still provide all the other nutrition. So they've got all the vitamins and all the trace elements, which is really important. It's, you can't just cut down the food so that they're not getting all that energy. Yeah. And cut down everything else as well. They certainly need those things. With most of those commercial foods as well, you can pretty much just, you feed them what it says on the bag, or perhaps cut it back a little bit, because we pretty much always give them some treats. So
yeah, absolutely. So, especially if you're doing a lot of training.
Yeah, so follow the feeding guide, maybe cut it down to about 80% of that, depending on how much treats your dogs are getting. And the other thing is, if your animal is a little bit overweight, you really want to be feeding them for the weight that they're supposed to be, not the weight that they are. But again, that's something you should speak to your vet or a veterinary nurse about, and they'll be able to give you tailored advice for your own animal.
Now, one other quick question, Alan, about food. If my dog is fairly young, can mm-hmm. I keep feeding her puppy food after, say, 12 months of age? Or should I be looking at changing that to the adult food?
It depends from breed to breed, because large dogs and giant breeds mature much more slowly than small breeds. So things like Great Danes may not actually be mature up until the age of sort of 18 months or almost 2 years, whereas things like Chihuahuas and Terriers are pretty much mature at 9 months. So, but as a general rule with most dogs, I would say, yeah, by about a year of age, then you should start feeding adult food.
And is that because sort of the puppy food is a bit higher in fat content and everything like that? So got more nutrition.
It just provides all those things that they need to grow. And once they stop growing, if you keep feeding it, then
they just sort of store that all up.
Yeah, they've got to store it somewhere. It's got to go somewhere. So now, they tend to put on weight.
Excellent. Now, one of the other important ways, obviously, we look at diet, but exercise is another thing as well when it comes to your pets. You might not think about it, but it's what we have to think about as well in terms of when we're looking to lose weight. Exercise and diet a big thing. You can also, you know, get out and get in shape with your pet, using them as a sort of pet personal trainer. So you know, you can throw the tennis ball for them, do a sprint back and forth, or maybe do some squats, that kind of thing. Leg weaving are a great way to get your pet active. But Alan, as we sort of talk about a few times, it's important to start off a bit slowly, isn't it?
Yeah, if you haven't been exercising, and if your dog hasn't been walking at all, then yeah, you need to build up gradually, and you need to do it every day. So get into a routine, maybe start off with about, I don't know, half a kilometre, something like that. Do it morning and evening, and each week sort of up it by another sort of 200 metres, something like that. I suppose you want to get them moving, but you don't want to tire them out too much. And you certainly don't want to do nothing all week and then at the weekend go to the beach for 2 hours.
And go crazy.
If you do that, they will get injured and it will lead to drama and expense.
So, I mean, it's important to sort of get your dog out sort of every day, you know, even if you have to wake up 15 minutes earlier and just take them for a walk, go out and play ball in the backyard, getting, you know, sort of doing the activities, playing fetch and things. What about cats? You know, there's obviously, it's a bit harder. You can't take a cat out for a walk. You can't go down to the park with a cat and play fetch. But what can we do with cats to get them a bit more active?
I think it's a really good idea to play with them, and certainly to have play with them at specific times as well, so that they, that becomes part of their routine. So set aside 10 or 15 minutes three times a day, and it just, it kind of keeps them active, it gives them a routine. With cats as well, feeding toys can be quite good for overweight cats. So indoor cats, those feeding balls where they have to work to get the food.
That's the same with dogs, it would be as well, wouldn't it be, just to give them that mental stimulation as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course.
It is. Sorry, we just had a message.
We had some SMSs coming through. So look, I think, you know, the main thing is regular exercise, and it's good for us as well. I mean, if you, especially these light mornings, if you get up early and get your dog out, you feel much better for the rest of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. You feel good. The dog feels good. And if you tire them out a little bit in the morning, that means they won't be so sort of active during the day and destructive. We did have a couple of messages in from Eugene. He wanted to know if cheese is bad for dogs. It's not too bad in small quantities.
No, little bits. And it's actually, they really like it. It's actually quite a good training
tool. Yeah, it is quite a good training tool. I know I use it with my dog, Cinder. Just, yeah, small quantities and only sort of, you know, your sort of standard tasty cheese. Yeah. I wouldn't be feeding them brie or camembert or anything. And the other question was, do pets have to be harnessed in vehicles in Victoria? This is a yes. They technically do. It's just for your safety. It's put out by the DEPI. We did do an article about it on the Dogs Home website. If you go to dogshome.com and have a search for travelling in vehicles with dogs, the recommendation from the DEPI, which is, they sort of put all the things about animals and pets, is to make sure they're harnessed in a crate, an appropriate, you know, thing, so they can't get forward, unless you have sort of a cage in the back where they can sit in the back of your sort of a big station wagon type thing. They need to be restrained in some sort of method as well. So thank you for sending in those messages. Coming up, we're going to hear from vet nurse Jeannie about the Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic Slimmers Club. You're on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy and 94.9. Now, a new and free pet Weight Watchers program is just about to begin underway. It is sort of underway at the moment at the Lost Dogs Home Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic in North Melbourne. I caught up with Jeannie, who is a vet nurse from the clinic, to learn all about the Slimmers Club. This is our interview. Hi-ho, dip the toes. She broke the needle and she can't slow walking the dog. One of the new services that we will be offering at the Lost Dogs Home Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic is the Slimmers Club. I'm here with a vet nurse, Jeannie, who's going to be running the club to have a bit of a chat about it. So, Jeannie, thanks for joining us on Pets Allowed today.
Thank you.
Tell us a bit about the Slimmers Club. What is it and why have you started it?
So the Slimmers Club is a program that I've designed where we're basically informing the owners on how to get the excess weight off their pets. There's a lot of long-term complications with obesity that a lot of people might not be aware of. Things like osteoarthritis, diabetes, heart conditions, and respiratory problems. So getting people aware of these sorts of diseases that are associated with obesity and helping them try and get the weight off. So the program, basically, the owner will come in, we'll get a weight on the animal, we'll give them a target weight, and we'll give them an exercise program, a diet, which also suits the animal. So even if your animal has a pre-existing condition, we can tailor a diet for them.
It is coming out of winter, and we're starting this in spring. Do you find that you kind of get a few pets putting on that winter weight?
Definitely, most definitely. People drop down on the exercise over winter because it's colder and it's raining and they just can't be bothered. So definitely there's more animals that have the weight on them at the end of winter, but also because we're eating fattier foods, the animals are getting fattier treats, you know, maybe leftovers and things like that. So it's more of an education program for the owners to help their pets with their diet or with their exercise program or all of the above.
So how does it work? How often do clients come and see you?
Usually we get them to come in with a vet first, just to make sure there are no pre-existing conditions, to make sure they've got a clean bill of health. We don't want to put them on a diet if there is something wrong already. We don't want to exacerbate a problem that's already there. So the initial consult, you'll see a vet and then you'll see myself. We'll get a target weight started and then it'll just be a fortnightly weigh-in.
What kind of pets are you looking for? Does it matter if they're extremely overweight, slightly overweight? What kind of pets, even underweight?
Not at all. I can help all of the animals. We've got one at the moment as well that he's a pointer that's quite underweight and we're helping him put on some pounds as well. He's a bit older now and he's started to lose weight, so we can do the reverse as well. You'll find a lot of the time that it's older de-sexed females that will put on the weight easier, and also inactive cats. It's quite simple to get a cat active. A lot of people think that, you know, you can't get cats active, but we've got a few tricks up our sleeve to get them going again.
So it's not just for dogs, it is for cats as well?
It's definitely for cats as well.
Tell us about a couple of the clients you have at the moment.
Okay, so I've been working with one client at the moment for 2 months, Little Lucky. The owner is adamant that he's just cuddly, so he's struggling at the moment. He's fluctuating in weight. I think it's a lot to do with the owner thinks that he needs his treats. I've also got a system set up for them. If they do give treats, they need to take a certain number of kibbles out. So there's lots of way we can, you know, combat the owner's discipline as well. But also have a very, very cuddly retriever at the moment as well. He's doing good. He's already lost some weight. So we'll keep pushing along with them.
So how can Pets Allowed listeners get involved with the Lost Dogs Home Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic Slimmers Club?
All you've got to do is contact the clinic, say that you're interested in coming in for a Slimmers consult. If you've already been to see our vets before, you know, we can probably get you straight into a Slimmers consult. Otherwise, we will get you to see a vet first just to make sure there's no underlying problems.
That was Vet Nurse Jeannie from the Lost Dogs Home Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic talking about our Slimmers Club. Now, if you'd like your dog or cat to be part of the club, you know, they might be a bit overweight. It is a free service, Alan?
Yes, it is.
So absolutely free. And you can come down to the Lost Dogs Home Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic, which 1 Boundary Road in North Melbourne. You can give us a call on 9329 2755, or visit our website to find out more information at dogshome.com.
Hi, this is Daryl.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.